believe we're doing in the month of May, right?
Next two Sundays.
Okay, so we will need you, all of you that know it, to sing Loud Sunday. So, and I'll see if I can get Sue to slow down the course. Gotta breathe. I just gotta breathe.
I tried.
All right. Oh, mercy. There's such good words, so appreciate that. It does speed up at the course, but got to breathe. So we'll put a note on the piano. Got to breathe, and she'll understand. But I appreciate that. I know. Yeah, got to move. You got to move. But it's a phenomenal song. It's one that really allows us to get our minds in gear, understanding how important it is to realize that God is our Savior. He loved us. He died for us. And he will carry us through anything that this world has to give us. And there are times, and I see it every day, and we've all experienced it, where all you have is the know that God is going to carry me. That's all we have. And that has to be enough. Although we want more at times, it has to be enough. And that ties right into our study tonight. Turn back into Philemon with me, if you would, please. We're going to go through a few more of the verses, looking at the relationship with Paul again, but also not just with the relationship, but how Paul is really, I believe, approaching a very difficult situation with Philemon, basically his friend, his counterpart in ministry. And Paul didn't want to lose that. Paul didn't want to affect the relationship that they had. But at the same time, by not affecting the relationship that they had, he had to come across and he had to give the truth. And I found it very interesting, every time I read through this and every time I study this, to the fact that how Paul valued the relationship, but it never stopped him from sharing the truth. And so, to me, that's very important, because Paul just didn't come in here and just start ripping out to Philemon all the things you have to do, because he cared about the relationship. And I think it's a good undertone, and it's a good foundation to realize that, and I've said it many times, you should be able to tell anybody anything as long as you tell them in love. And I think that's what we see in Paul's life. He's got a love for Philemon as a brother in Christ, as a servant. Together, serving together. He's the head of the church because it's in his home, so he has a church house. But tonight, as we started last week, going through verse 13, we started with this relationship that Paul was beginning to talk about so clearly, and we saw the first thing that he presented was a brotherhood, a common thread of Christ. As he has that, basically, he's sharing the one that he had with Onesimus. Philemon, you know where we're at, but I want you to know where Onesimus and myself, Paul speaking, where we are at. And we are now brothers. Onesimus is just not your slave. He is now my brother. And so he begins on verse 13, and he states the brotherhood between Paul himself and Onesimus. The next thing was the past brotherhood between Paul and Philemon. And then we find that in verse 14. Verse 14 says, it is, let me grab it real quick here. Verse 14 says, "But without thy mind would I do nothing, that the benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing." Now, yanking that verse right there out of the King James is tough, because the way it is worded in the King James is difficult just to pull that out and understand it. But what Paul was saying here, because of their brotherhood, because of the relationship that Paul and Philemon had, he didn't want to keep Onesimus with him. Now you need to understand the culture a little bit. In the culture, it was actually against the law to harbor somebody else's slave. You had to send that slave back or give that slave back, or you were in trouble. It's almost like harboring a fugitive today. The same concept. So Paul would not have been able to do that. He would not keep Onesimus. You had to first have the consent of the one who owned him. And so, you know, we're dealing in a world, and we're living in a world where this concept of slavery, I think, has really escalated and poured fuel on a fire of racism. And, you know, when you go through history, when you look back through, there always has been a group of people who have been under the power of someone else. And it, every generation, every culture, every. And so it's wrong, and slavery's wrong, that there's no question about that. But when looking at this, Paul, in his ability to understand, he didn't want to hold him there without Philemon's consent. So verse 14, and that's what he was saying, because it says in beginning of verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing. Philemon, without your consent, without you knowing, without your mind, without you being aware of what Onesimus is to me and the relationship we have and how beneficial he is to me, he said, I still can't keep him. That's why he sent Onesimus back with the letter. That's why he put him back on Philemon's front door. So we understand that through the consent. Basically, I'm sure reading this letter that Philemon would have been okay with it. Philemon would have allowed Onesimus to stay there once he understood everything. Paul did not want to take advantage of his friendship with Philemon. I'm going to tell you what, that is huge. Man, today, as we live our lives today, you don't take advantage of the people. Listen, friends are hard to come by. Don't take advantage of them. And basically, that's what Paul's saying in the latter part of verse 14. Not be as it were of necessity, even though it would have been beneficial for me to keep him. Even though Onesimus was a great help to me, there's no way I can keep him. And then again, but willingly. Philemon, if you would will him to come back to me, if you would allow him to come back to me, it'd be a great thing. It's interesting enough that we do not have anything in Scripture that states he did that. There's nowhere in Scripture to know that Philemon let Onesimus go back. But it's all up to the imagination. I kind of think he did, but I have no proof of that. Because we knew that as we continue through the study in the letter. And that the willing, but willing basically in the Greek is interesting. It means voluntary. It's spontaneous. It's Philemon, I'll take him back if you send him back. But you have to be the one to do that. And he was obeying the law of the land. So again, the brotherhood between Paul and Philemon was so strong that he was not going to break, or he was not going to take advantage of the grace that Philemon had. And we knew that from the beginning of the study. We knew that Paul gave Philemon a lot of just acclimates about how well he was a Christian and how well he did things. And so Paul didn't want to take advantage of that. The third thing we find in this brotherhood, we find in verse 15 and 16. So I'm going to read the two verses and then we'll go back and look at them. Verse 15 states, for purpose he therefore departed for a season, but thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but as a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he is now coming in this brotherhood between Onesimus and Philemon. Do you see the flow of thought here? Paul says, first, it's about me and Philemon. Now it's about me and you. Now it's about you and Onesimus. So Paul is putting this, I think it's a tremendous 1-2-3 point that we need to apply in our life. Because we need to understand how important it is about that other person and the relationship we have. And, you know, Paul's like a third party trying to put two people together, trying to help these two come together in the grips. The law says Philemon had every right to stone and to kill him because he was a thief and he was a runaway slave. But Paul says, no, don't do that. Because of the bond I have with Onesimus, and now he says, now here's what it should look like between you two. And so when we see this, his temporary loss, it says in the scripture there, for purpose he therefore departed, he ran away for a season. That is for a little while, that means temporary. Actually in the Greek it says to an hour. So it's talking about a time frame. So Paul says, even though he ran away for a while or a time frame, basically, the slaves were, many of them stayed undetected when they ran, and they stayed in the big cities, and they just ran under the radar, and they basically were no good or never would return to their owners. But when it says in verse 15 that he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. This whole concept of the word forever is interesting, because it translates normally rendered forever, but it could be translated for good, for permanent, as it's listed in there. But Paul says, you know, for a while he ran from you, but you now have an opportunity to have him forever. Now, it's debatable what he meant by forever. You have him until you die, or he's a brother. You're going to have him forever, in heaven and on earth. So what Paul now is doing is he's setting up this relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. And he says, I know what he did. I know it was he ran away. I know it was for a season. It was just for a short period of time. But do you realize the relationship you now have is going to be forever? Isn't that amazing? You know, I think God's sense of humor, if there is one person on this earth that you really rubs you the wrong way, I mean, just the name, just get them goosebumps. I don't have anybody like that. I don't think, anyway. No, I don't have anybody like that. But if you have that person, you know, God's sense of humor, you're going to live forever right beside each other. I'm telling you right now. I guarantee you, God's sense of humor, you're going to live forever with that guy. But you know, God wants us to, I believe, show Christ. And we even talked about it Sunday morning. God's grace working through us. That's how Paul did what he did. Paul now is saying to Philemon, listen, you have an opportunity to allow the grace of God work through you. You now have him forever. How exciting that is to realize that, again, may mean either permanently in this life as long as he lives, but man, he's also got him in heaven because he is a saved brother. Verse 16 basically goes on a little bit further and simply says, now, not now as a servant. Paul was basically contrasting Onesimus' status. You had him for a while. He was a slave. You had him for a slave. But he says, not just as a servant, but then he goes, says, but above a servant. This new relationship that Philemon had with Onesimus was a brother in the Lord. He said, now he's just not your servant. He's your brother. So, again, pointing out the importance of the common thread of Christ in our life. And, you know, Christians ought to be treating Christians much better than they treat anybody else. But you need to treat everybody else okay, too. But you got to treat better. I mean, and I think that's why you've heard of, maybe you've experienced it, maybe you've heard of it, but there's some individuals who will go through and you know, we get involved and all of a sudden we get blindsided by another Christian. And we're like, where did that come from? Why did it come? How? Whoa, wait a minute, I didn't expect that. And that's why the blindside hurts. Because you don't expect it from a brother. You don't expect it from a sister. You don't expect it from your own. And yet our own, boy, they hurt us more sometimes than the others. So we need to be careful with this. And Paul is pointing this out and the importance of just no longer a slave or a servant to you, but now he's a brother. Basically, what he just did is put, now remember, he put Paul and Philemon's relationship, and now he's putting Onesimus on the same level, same platform as Paul and Philemon. He's one of us. He's one of ours. He's a brother in Christ. So it's really interesting how he does this. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done. Onesimus carried on. He went. That's why I think he maybe sent him back, because he went on with Paul's ministry. He went on and began to be a faithful, beloved brother who is one of you. Paul lifted them on the same page. They say that love, and Scripture says that love covers a multitude of sin. And I think when we look at the love that it took for you and I to be saved, and when we accept that love of Christ, and we allow the grace of God to work through us, and we exemplify that love, then it overlooks. And I think that's what Paul was getting to. Philemon, you need to overlook that season that happened. You need to overlook the wrong that he'd done. He's one of us. He's our brother. And so I think it's very important as we see how Paul is pulling this out and pulling it together, because he's more than just. Again, for Philemon to take Onesimus back, as it says in verse 16, a brother beloved especially to me, but now how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he wants him to take him back. He wants him to bring him back and understand this. But there may have been some kind of a, Philemon, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive him as Onesimus comes. And I'm sure that, again, I can't prove this in Scripture, but I'm kind of sure that Paul may have coached Onesimus a little bit and said, you need to go repentive. Because I'm a firm believer that if nobody comes to you repenting, you do not have to forgive them on this side of heaven. Now, before God, you need to wipe away all the bitterness. You need to wipe away all the stuff. And you need to pray for that person. And you need to say, God, if and when they come in repentance, I will forgive them. But you see, put that alongside of salvation. If you and I just say, okay, Lord, thanks, save me, and we don't come repentive, are we really saved? So it's the same concept that we have with each other. You know, we need to be people who are willing to repent. And I believe Onesimus did that. I believe Onesimus came to him, and Paul even suggested that in that realm of having him come and repent, receiving him as a man in the flesh, again, reinstating either the master-servant relationship that they had, along with, as he said in verse 16 very carefully, at the end of it, in the flesh and in the Lord. Philemon, you now accept him in two ways. You accept him as a man, you accept him as your servant, put him back in your fold of service, and you also accept him as a brother in the Lord. So he was reinstating him, or putting him back to the level that he was, and now also adding on the concept that he is in the Lord. And again, a man, person-to-person relationship, and maybe not a master. Maybe that meant, there's no way of knowing exactly how he was to take that, but I think as it's written there, that maybe elevate him beyond the slave. Maybe free him. Let him be your friend. As we know in Colossians, he went back, he served with Paul. And so when you see the relationship that he's building again, it's quite interesting, because when you see those three relationships and how Paul put through the importance of each one, I think it's a good lesson for us on how we are to mend relationships, how we are to live as Christians among listen, I don't know about you, but there are a few people who don't agree with me. I don't understand that. I mean, I thought we all agreed with everything. And because we are people who still live in a sinful nature, saved but still sinful, we are going to have conflicts. We are going to have disagreements. We are going to have issues. And I think Paul made a tremendous case on this is how you fix them. This is how you work towards them. This is what you're looking for. Because ultimately, in the very end, if Onesimus, according to Colossians, I can't remember where I looked it up at. According to Colossians now, it was part of his ministry. Colossians now stated he was one of them. He was very beneficial in the ministry. So however Philemon handled it, it allowed Onesimus to go on and be a servant for God. And isn't that the goal? The goal is that we're all serving God. The goal is that we're out there doing what God wants us to do, not harboring the bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 says when we harbor bitterness in our heart, then it's a slippery slope. It's almost like we could have Satan a foothold in the door. And Satan will take that and use that. And as long as we let that door open and Satan has his foot in that door, it's a slippery slope. You will fall away from the graces of God. Not out of salvation, you'll fall away from the graces of God. And listen, you and I want the grace of God to be working through us at all times, right? We don't want to harbor anything in us that's going to stop that grace. And I think that's what Paul is saying in Hebrews 12. That grace of God is so important in our life. We need to continue to allow it to fester, allow it to be seen, allow it to be worked out in our life. We can't have that if we harbor bitterness towards his children. And so I think it's a very valuable lesson that we see tonight through Paul. Verses 18 through 21 comes into the pledge. Again, verse 17 sort of transitions them two together. Verse 17 says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Paul begins to set up another stage of Philemon. My heart, this is where Paul just becomes completely transparent. He says, accept them as myself. So we're going to see that next week, how he does that. We're going to read through that 18 to the, basically down through the end of the book. But we're probably only going to get it all in tomorrow or next week. But we will be able to study that through. So I encourage you to keep going after it. Keep studying it. Keep looking at it. But hope that that encourages you to see a pattern and how we are to be able to live our life. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. I pray as we continue to just ponder, we continue to see the example that was put in front of us from Paul. Lord, that we are able to exemplify that in our life. And Lord, it's very difficult at times to understand some of the things that are done, some of the things that are said. But God, we realize when we are all broken, we are all sinners saved by grace, there are times. And God, I pray that in the ultimate end that you will be glorified so that all are serving you as you would want them to serve. God, we just give the credit to you. We give the praise to you because without your love, without your grace working in us and the power that you give us, we would never be able to function and to respond the way that Paul encouraged Philemon to respond. God, we just thank you for that. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.